This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
I love this little fact.
I fell deep into a vanilla K-hole. Not a K-hole. What do you call that?
I don't know what kind of hole.
What do you call that? A deep dive hole? What do you call that?
Rabbit hole?
Rabbit hole.
Okay.
Not a K-hole.
Okay.
What the hell's a K-hole? I don't even want to know. This is going to change your life.
Pull up a chair. The kitchen is open.
Oh, it's so good.
With Clinton Kelly, Carla Hall, and Michael Simon.
You better shut your face.
Let's dig in.
This is so much fun.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Chewed Up. It is Friday, and you know we like to get a little bit crazy on Friday. So it is December 12th. Thanksgiving is in the rearview mirror. We are gearing up for Christmas. Things are looking good. I am beyond excited. I am with the lovely Carla Hall, the fabulous Clinton Kelly. I am Michael Simon. If you don't like us, don't watch. I don't know what to tell you.
But put your hand, Lance.
Today's show, though, I'm very excited because Clinton Kelly is going to make a dessert that is hotter than a Madonna concert in 1985.
Whoa!
That's a lot to live up to. But like a virgin, I'm going to do my best.
Yeah. Kelly, what are you making?
I am making an invisible apple cake.
What does that even mean?
It means that the apples basically almost go away. They almost turn into custard with the custard base. And so they're, because they're really thinly sliced.
Yeah.
And so they're invisible. It's not like an apple pie where you cut it and a big chunk of apple falls out. These are teeny tiny, thinly sliced pieces of apple. Delicious.
No, I love this. Okay, so I just saw this viral video.
Yes.
And it was an apple pie.
Uh-huh.
And you take, I don't know if you all saw it. It's like, so it's a store-bought apple pie. You pour apple juice in there. And then you have flour mixed with, I think, some baking powder and some sugar. And you mix that up and you just put the flour mixture into the apple juice. You don't stir it, the guy said, don't stir it. And then you dot butter. And then he put a little protector around the pie shell. He threw it in the oven. I know this is gonna taste better than that.
I guarantee you. I was like, I didn't know where that story was going, but I was like, that's not my pie.
No, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The thing is viral.
Right. This didn't go, I found this, the recipe for this, I didn't find this particular recipe on the internet, but the concept I kept seeing online. And I was like, I want to try an invisible apple cake. So I came up with my own recipe for this.
I love it.
It was inspired by
it. I'm excited. Yes. It is funny. Like the whole, I have friends that love to cook. And you would think that after, you know, we've been friends for our entire life. You'd think that occasionally, like, they would call me for guidance more than they do. But a lot of times they'll call me and they're like, dude, I have a problem. Like people are coming over for dinner and, you know, I saw this viral recipe on TikTok, and I'm like, oh, boy.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's right. like, everything in life has its place. Like, TikTok, Instagram, they're made more to entertain us than inform
yes.
us fully.
Yes. Yes.
Like, so, like, if you're cooking for friends and family, buy one of our Ina Garten. The Ina's recipes are guaranteed to be perfect every time. Like, there's a lot of books out there that could get you there. Be entertained by viral videos.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily think it's a good idea for a dinner party.
Right. It's one thing if you want to try it out, but you're by yourself, you know, maybe you're cooking for one other person. Try it out.
You want to see an exploding sundae or
apple
a lasagna
flat.
Bigger than your head.
Yeah.
Like, let it rip. But chances are that these are done purely for clicks, but not for deliciousness.
Yes, like,
you can leave that anywhere. Yeah.
You got a little butterfingers this week.
I know.
Earlier in the week, you had a flower explosion. Now you're whipping apples all over the place.
My hands just released stuff.
Let's talk about apples first. My hands just released stuff.
Release the hounds!
It's like...
My hands just released. That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard anybody say. But
it's a nice way of saying
arthritis. I'm not saying that with any judgment.
I think women with mental. I said it to one mom. She said, "Oh my God, me too. We have these symptoms and we don't know. We think we're by ourselves. I mean, I could be holding something and my hands just."
I'm sure it said you just don't give a shit anymore.
Like, no, it's just like I'm done with this. But I'm like, but I'm not up here. It's up my hand. No, it's not together.
I'm not connecting anymore.
Your hands say done, but your brain says no.
Exactly. No. All okay, right. Sorry.
So for this recipe, I just want to talk about the fact that you have to slice 5 apples very thinly. If you have a mandolin,
yes,
this can be done in literally like 2 minutes. If you don't have a mandolin, it is going to take a little bit of time.
7 days.
First set of apples will be brown.
This is Clinton's 7 days invisible apple dessert.
It's called invisible because your family will have left you by the time you give it to them.
You will have no friends and family left by the time this is on the table.
I will say, though, if once you peel them and core them, if you can just take a little time to get in the zone and slice them thinly, if you don't have a mandolin, it will still work. I feel like there are certain people who would love the task of cutting 5 apples into thin slices. Yes.
That is my happiest place. Like, I love quiet time in the kitchen. Like, when we had a lot of, I would go into the restaurant before anybody got there and just do the most basic of prep work because it was so soothing.
And satisfying. Yes. It's a meditative.
It was meditative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost like if you're the type of person who likes untying knots, like if something gets, like a cord gets tangled or a rope gets tangled.
Or your jewelry.
Your jewelry. If you like that, just sort of sitting there, you might like cutting these apples. If you have a mandolin, I don't have that kind of patience. If you have a mandolin, use the mandolin. Okay. So then these apples get, they're sort of in a beautiful light custard base. It's a really easy base. 3 eggs. I don't know why I didn't crack these before. Whenever I crack eggs in front of a camera, I screw them up. But at home, I'm like, but I won't screw them up.
This is a moment. This is a moment. Clinton, as you're doing this, I'm going to tell you, what do you call your daughter-in-law's mom?
Nothing.
No.
Your daughter-in-law's mom.
It's a daughter-in-law's mom.
My daughter-in-law's mom.
You never call her. She told me you never call her. She's mad about it.
She's a great cook. So, and really with pastries and baked goods and stuff. And when you told me we're making this, I got all excited because for Butchie's birthday, she made this. And it was delicious.
I've never had this before.
You really never had this?
No, I don't think I have. I'm excited.
You have it. You're going to.
I love apple anything. I mean, I've never considered the apple juice pie, but this, I just think this is so great.
Yeah. So you want to mix your, what is that?
It was in the egg.
It was in the, it was the egg goober. it keeps showing up, and it's really annoying the shit out of me.
It was almost a chick.
Oh, there you go.
It was almost a chick.
OCD baking.
Yeah.
By Clinton.
Do you see it? Every once in a while when I do this, it comes into...
Rawr!
All right, maybe I beat it into submission. All right, so you beat your eggs and your sugar together. I know. I saw it again.
Okay, for those of you who are listening, Clinton is looking for the little brown speck that was in the egg, in the eggs that he is beating.
Did you see it? Did you see it?
I saw it when you cracked the egg. I'm just going to let it go.
Why did you let me do that? I'm just kidding.
It's probably,
oh, there it is.
Ah! Oh, okay.
There it is. I got it.
Okay, you got it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it was a shell.
It was a little piece of shell.
Oh.
I told you. I always screw up eggs when I crack them on camera, every single time.
It's okay.
But it's okay. I don't care.
But
no, you got it.
I'm still going.
Good. Yeah, you're fine.
Everybody hates me on the words. I'm a fake. I'm a fake and a prawn.
It doesn't feel like it's affected you at all.
Could you imagine if I cried? When was the last time you really wanted to cry in public? Can you
think about it? It was about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, is it going to be a sad story if I...
No, it was because I was supposed to interview Brené Brown, and then they told me right before, like 5 minutes before, that I wasn't going to because an exec wanted to do it, and I really wanted to cry because I poured like a whole week into it. I was super excited.
I recently got pretty choked up in public. Recently, wasn't public, but I was doing it was Jacques Pepin's 90th birthday, and we were doing a 90th birthday dinner for Jacques at the restaurant Lola. It was the restaurant now is Cordelia, formerly Lola.
Okay.
And it was the first time I had cooked in that kitchen, since we closed the restaurant after 25 years.
Wow.
I was talking to the staff before, like a pre-shift, going over the dishes and talking to their staff. before the dinner. And the staff was, the restaurant is wonderful. The chef, Vinny, is great. They're winning all these awards. I'm so happy for him. But I like started talking to them. And then Frankie, my GM at Angeline, but who has worked for Liz and I for 30 years. Before we even owned our own restaurant, okay. We worked together.
Yeah.
He's in Atlantic City at Angeline. And I'm talking to their staff, and out of the corner of my eye, I see him walk into the room. And he ran Lola. You know, like he was the front man for Lola.
Yeah, and then you're there.
And he's like, I wasn't going to miss it. He didn't tell us he was coming. And I just broke down. I just completely broke down.
You cried?
Oh, I bawled.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Not bawled, but I got very...
I'm glad that you're a tenderoni.
Oh, well, I'm Greek and Sicilian, it's probably not a big surprise to anybody, but it really choked me up.
Yeah.
Because it was like... He's such an important part of our lives.
Yeah.
And that he knew how important that was to us.
Yeah.
And that he just he had a day off, he got in his car, he drove from AC to Cleveland, came for the dinner, left the next morning back.
What?
Oh, that's really
lovely.
Huh? Oh, it's 10 hours.
10 hours. That's a big commitment. Love it. That's okay. Don't be sorry. I'm going to add a little bit of vanilla to the situation and some milk. Did you know that vanilla extract and vanilla bean paste are about a 1-to-1 ratio? So if you have one or the other and the recipe calls for one or the other, you could use the same amount. But a vanilla bean is about 1.5 teaspoons equivalent to a vanilla paste.
Okay.
If you scrape out the...
I love this little fact.
I fell deep into a vanilla K-hole. Not a K-hole. What do you call that?
I don't know what kind of hole.
A hole? What do you call that?
Rabbit hole?
Rabbit hole.
Okay.
Not a K-hole.
Okay.
What the hell's a K-hole? I don't even want to know.
When you take too much ketamine and you're in a K-hole.
I don't know.
Special K?
I'm not sure.
Really? I have never been in a K-hole. I'm just saying.
I don't mean either.
I didn't know what
K-hole
was a thing.
Is. It's like when you, it's ketamine. It's bad. It's drugs.
I don't know.
It's the drugs. Okay. All right. So I got my egg mixture over here. Now over here, I've got a little bit of flour. Mm-hmm. I've got a little bit of cinnamon and a little bit of nutmeg. Now a lot of invisible cakes do not have those ingredients in them for some reason, but I like apples with a little bit of cinnamon and a little bit of nutmeg. So
nutmeg makes most things better, I feel.
And I love that you're adding salt too, because it's all the balance of salt.
Little pinch of salt. And also keep this in mind. A lot of recipes say unsalted butter, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if they also say unsalted butter and a pinch of salt, then you just, maybe you don't add as much salt when you're adding the pinch of salt if you only have salted butter in the house, right? That's my thing. That's my thing. Okay, I just need to mix these together.
Yeah, I love it.
You want a fork? There's a fork right behind you.
Oh, there is?
Right in the drawer, right behind you.
There's forks in there?
There you go, fork.
Wow.
Shoo-wee.
And also, just keep in mind, you always want to mix your dry ingredients like this because, otherwise, if you don't, you'll end up with a big blob of cinnamon somewhere in your dish. So you get it all mixed up. Now, this goes into this.
Yes.
Not a big difference which goes into
the
what.
Thinnest batter. It feels almost like a crepe batter.
It is a little bit like a crepe batter. Now that you mention it, yeah. And that consistency of crepes?
Yes.
That eggy consistency?
Yes.
That's what this ends up being like. It holds together the, let me use the the whisk for this. Okay. And then we dump our apples into this mixture.
I love this so much.
Okay, apples go in there. This, like I said, this is about 5 apples. I did wash my hands before we started.
Is the style of apple important when you see cake?
Yes, if you do a mushy apple, like a Macintosh or something, it's not gonna work. So you want a firm apple.
Sauce.
So it'll totally become just a mush sauce. So you want
an
apple.
What is the apple that you're using?
Fuji.
Fuji.
Yeah,
Fuji.
I love a Fuji. Right. And with the Granny Smith?
You could absolutely do a Granny Smith too, 100%.
Cosmic Crisp too.
I've never even had one.
Yeah, it's a great cooking apple. It doesn't brown as fast, and it's tangy and sweet and very crisp.
Ooh. Say it again.
Cosmic, like the cosmic.
Cosmic.
Crisp.
Crisp, okay. Crisp. I like a Macoun. Have you had a
Macoun?
Yeah, they're delicious.
Yes.
Your guys' apple knowledge runs so deep.
I'm all about the farm stand. I will talk to my farmers all day.
Yeah.
I'm putting these in a loaf pan, and you butter and parchment the loaf pan. And that's important because you're going
to
need these handles on the side to get it out.
Got it.
Yes.
And then we just go in with the apples at this point.
And you could just go crazy. Just throw them in.
This is like gratin, but with apples.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like what?
A gratin.
Oh, yeah, a little bit like that, yeah.
No, but except it's sweet.
Yes, and you don't have to be so precious with the way you're layering them.
It's
really, I've tried it the precious way. I've tried it the crazy way. Crazy's just fine. So just throw them in there.
You know, always is. Thank God, we wouldn't have a chewed up show.
You know what? It's like, what are your recipes? What's the perspective? Just crazy.
Just do it crazy. I will say, when you know, you just want to press it down from time to time to make sure that they are lying flat, because then you get this beautiful slice when you do that. And then I will say, so the last layer, I do try to make it look a little bit pretty on top. But then I also, you know me, I've said this 100 times, I don't have the patience to make my baked goods pretty.
For someone who is so put together all the time.
I don't know. I don't think I am anymore, but thank you.
You are. I feel that most of America, myself included, believes that you are.
Right.
And so we're going to just keep living that dream. But like that you don't have patience for some things cracks me up.
It's weird, right?
Because you appear to be someone that's incredibly patient.
I have zero patience for decorating food. I just want to eat it. Like, I don't want to look at my food so much.
Right.
So I'm like, whatever. Like, I don't care what it looks like as long as it's delicious. But I know that people, you know, you talk about this all the time. You eat with your eyes. Does it look good or not? That's you. Right?
Yeah.
Especially when you're judging baking competitions. Yeah.
You eat with your fork.
Chewed up. This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
All right, if you are laughing, drooling, or yelling at us through your screen right now,
then you're one of us, and we love you for it.
So don't just watch in silence. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube or follow wherever you're listening.
Yeah, that way you don't miss when Clinton starts another bread and cheese crusade.
Okay, or when Michael burns something on purpose.
Oh, whatever. It's called Flavor Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Subscribe, follow, tell a friend, whatever it takes.
More chaos, more comfort food every week on Chewed Up. Sometimes you don't feel like having a drink with alcohol when you're out with friends.
That's where Casa Mara Club comes in. They make these beautiful botanical leisure sodas, but without the booze.
They've got flavors inspired by travel, coastal citrus, alpine herbs, and even a little ginger. All bubbly and refreshing.
Thank you, Casa Mara Club, for keeping us happy sipping in the kitchen.
To find out more, go to casamaraclub.com.
The rest of the batter goes on top of this, and it just
so
sort of
beautiful.
Seeps down in between all the apples and turns into.
I'm going to make this.
It's delicious. Well, you have to taste it first.
I'm telling you, when I tasted this, a similar dessert to this the first time, it blew me away.
I've never had this before.
And then I'm like, what is this? And they said invisible. And I'm like, and then when Clint said he was making it, I'm like, oh boy.
So, you know, I told you all like a week ago or so that I interviewed Dori Greenspan in her new book, Anytime Cakes, and she says she does this dessert with grated apples, grits, a little bit, like it should not work. It's some German thing.
Uh-huh.
She's like, it shouldn't work. But it's like one of these, I mean, this looks like it'll work, but you know when people have these ingredients and you layer them,
right.
And it's like, why does it work?
Why is this
but
happening?
Grits and
right.
with apples and,
yeah.
right? But I have to try that too. But this is one of those that I really want to try because it's super easy. And you can throw it together really quickly.
Yeah.
I have a mandolin.
CK, what's temp and time?
Oh, I can't remember. Nick, remember the brief I sent you? 350 for 30.
For 30 minutes.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay, so a couple things while that's happening. And CK's doing
his
magic
happened.
Over there.
It's happened.
What?
Oh, we have
take
one out.
It out. Yeah.
You seem to have had patience with this.
Well, you know, I have patience for some things and not others. When I'm talking and cooking. So you lift it out. This is why you need the parchment, right?
Yes.
It goes whoop. Just out like that. Put it on a beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Right? So pretty. Oh,
it's gorgeous.
You want to dust it with a little, we don't really have a sieve, but we can dust with this. Dust it with some
powdered
sugar. Pretty.
That is gorgeous.
Isn't that nice?
Clinton, that you took the time to make that little floret on the top. I mean, now I know you love us.
Now, I mean, it looks like a, what is it, a Kugel? What is the?
Oh, Kugel, yeah.
Kugel?
Yeah.
Kugel? Could we play a little game as we're doing this?
Yeah, of course.
This? Are we carving up? It's not really, this is a holiday do or holiday don't situation.
Yes, love it.
And you guys could both answer. So, holidays. Do you bring a gift for the host holiday party? This holiday party do's and don'ts.
I think that's a do.
I do.
Do.
Yeah. You know, I have strict rules about, you know, host and hostess gifts, because if you are hosting a party, right, and somebody gives you something that requires your immediate attention, it's actually rude. So
that's
when you're like, here, it's a don't, right? So you're like, here's a bouquet of flowers that I just picked up that are not in a vase or not in water. So now it's like, oh, thank you. Let me drop everything and find a vase for your flowers. Thanks. Yeah. But just bring a flowers in a vase so your host can just like put them away somewhere. Nothing that like has to require attention. Oh, here's this needs to be reheated in the oven.
Gosh,
I brought you this.
Yes.
Can you put it in the oven at 400 for 10 minutes? No,
so
I can't.
So bring a gift, just be thoughtful of it and make sure it's not taking up the host time.
Exactly.
To let them throw their party correctly.
Yes. I learned that from Clinton Kelly.
Okay. Do you ever talk about work at a party?
No. I think you kind of have to. What do you think, Carla?
I feel like I live in D.C. Everybody talks about work.
All the time.
But I don't talk about my work unless somebody asks.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's okay to talk a little bit about work because that's where we spend a lot of our time, right?
Yeah.
So we have a lot to talk about. But it's really tricky, right? If somebody does something for a living that you find excruciating.
Or if
boring.
It's a work party. Do you want to be talking about work at a work party? You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, talking shit about your coworkers at a work party is so much fun.
I didn't know where this was going. She is not good at her job.
It's probably a don't, but you may find joy in making it a do.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. You know, going to a party, I RSVP, but, you know, one of my buddies is in town. I'm just going to bring him along with me.
No.
That is a solid no.
No.
That is so rude. It's so rude.
It is.
So because what if everybody did that?
Yeah.
So rude.
I'm not even going to say his name, Scott Feldman, but one of my dearest friends, I literally, when I invite him and text them to come to a party, I'm like, this invite is for you. And
you have to tell him.
You and Jody Sue, his wife, or you and you alone, you and Jody Sue and you and Jody Sue. Because he is famous. Like, he'll be like, I was out and I saw some friends, you know.
Oof. So, you know, I lived in Miami for a little while, and for some reason in Miami, dinner for four would always turn into dinner for 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had friends down there who would always be like, oh, look, so-and-so is walking down Lincoln Road. Let's invite them over to the dinner. I'm like, now I got to sit and talk to some asshole I don't know. Like, really? I don't want that. Especially if you're hosting a party, then you have somebody you don't know in your house. You're like, are they going to steal my silverware? Are they going to, like, drop a deuce in the bathroom?
I straddle that because it's like the whole do drop in, but I think the do drop in is somebody I know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's room for the table.
Yeah, I feel like if I'm inviting someone to a party at my house, it's probably someone that's been to my house.
Yes.
And someone that I know very closely.
Yes, right? That's how I feel. It's like, I don't let a lot of people into my inner circle.
And also, if it happens far ahead of time, like if I called you up and you say, you know what, my sister's in town.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's different.
Yeah.
Like,
you've
planned it already.
Yeah, yeah.
But the day of add-on, boy, you want to see me get heated fast.
Yeah.
That's the one.
I have a question for you about parties. The Irish exit. Do you tell your guests, do you tell your host that you're leaving, or do you just sort of slip away?
I think if you've done everything properly leading up to that, you could slip away. You brought the proper gift. You were very kind during the party. You talked to everybody. You mingled. You didn't sit in the corner like a weirdo.
Yeah.
Like, then you could do the Irish exit.
Yeah.
I honestly would come in and say, I'm so happy to be here. I'm probably going to be leaving a little bit earlier, but I'm not going to say goodbye. But I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, so you said it early.
I set it up.
I love to go to a party, be the best guest I can possibly be at that party, and then I don't want to bring the host down.
Yeah.
I don't want somebody to come up to me like, I have to go now.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, okay, I'm in the middle of having a really great time, but bye. You know,
it's
like, just leave.
Exactly.
Just go. I mean, if it's a party of six people, then you have to say goodbye to the host.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really.
When the counter said, I can leave.
There's four of us here.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Look at the invisibility of it.
Wait, I was going to say, So you don't drink, so this is an issue for you. But CK, do you pregame before a party? Do you have a couple cocktails at the house?
Depends what party I'm going to. If it's a party where I'm like, I might hate all of these people, I'm going to get drunk.
Little pregame.
little
pregame situation. I want to be properly lubricated.
But let me tell you,
to be the best version of you.
The best version of yourself. Sometimes my pregame is eating. Because if I.
Oh, yeah.
Also, you don't house stuff there.
Yeah.
That's a really good. And also, you got to know the host.
Yeah.
All right, this is my last one, and I feel this one is so current and now, something we never thought about when we were younger. Do you take photos or post photos at a party or
these are great questions.
These are really great questions.
I don't like having my picture taken at a party. If I'm just trying to have a good time, or maybe I've had one too many cocktails, like, I don't need you posting that on your freaking Instagram. That's rude.
Who's posting during a party?
People do it.
Oh, all the time.
What?
Yeah.
The time. And it's there's some people that I know well enough that I know that they would never, like, they just wanted to, you know, and I'm fine with that. Yeah. I also think if in a day and age where people take, like, I would prefer, to be quite honest, if I'm having people over, here's a basket, mm-hmm. throw all your phones in the basket, we're going to enjoy ourselves and not look at our phones, worry about our phones, you don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
But like, if someone does take a picture, that person better ask me first, is this cool?
Yeah,
totally.
Is this okay to post this?
Yes.
When
did we get to be the part of this? How did we get to be at this point in society, that's what I'm really trying to say, where it's okay to just take a picture of somebody and post it without their permission?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't give you my consent.
But that's what we live in this day and age.
Yeah, I don't like it. Would you like a little scoop of ice cream to go?
Yeah.
Clinton.
I recommend.
This is beautiful. I want you all to see this.
This is the invisible cake situation.
Yes.
I'm going to call that SAF.
SAF?
Yeah, that's going to be it's the SAF cake.
What does that stand for?
Huh?
What does it stand for?
Sexy ass. Fudge.
All right.
Except
I hope you likey.
Fudge.
Oh my God.
You can see it doesn't make that much of a difference how you layer
No, it doesn't.
The apples
I
the
love
pan.
This. I'm going to taste without ice cream first.
Mm. Right?
Just how I remember it.
Delicious.
It's so, you know why I love it? And this is why I loved it the first time around too. It's not cloyingly sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an apple bomb
mm-hmm.
in your mouth. You just get all that full fall, early winter apple flavor. A little bit of the cinnamon and nutmeg just kind of permeates it. This is in my, like, from the last time, I've had it twice now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put it in my top five favorite desserts.
Really?
Yeah.
It's one of those desserts. You know when people are making that apple rose pie?
Right.
You know, a rose tart, mm-hmm. and it takes hours to, like,
to
fill that all in and arrange those apple slices that look like petals.
Mm-hmm.
This is better. It's like, that's what you wanted that tart to taste like.
Yeah.
This is what it actually should taste like.
It should taste like.
Yeah.
You may have noticed some of the boards and plates we're using. Those are all from Frontgate, including some for my very own collection.
They've got everything from outdoor furniture to decor to entertaining essentials, all made with quality, comfort, and style in mind.
And since most of it is designed in-house, you can't find their pieces anywhere else.
Frontgate, thanks for making our spread look so good.
For more information, go to frontgate.com.
People, I feel this way about a lot of restaurant food too, and like restaurant competitions. Like, the reason that you always did good in competition, I always do good in competition, the first thing I think of is, how good is this going to taste?
Yeah.
A lot of chefs and a lot of home cooks, the first thing they think is, what is this going to look like?
Dude.
That's down my list. Mm-hmm. Like, I can make anything look good, I feel.
You got bad mail.
No, it's just a go, bring it. Nothing stops him. I guess Nick didn't care about how food looked.
Wow.
But see, yes, it is. No, no, Nick.
Get the shit out of us, Nick.
No, we got fan mail.
Pavlov's response. We're like,
I was like, Nick really doesn't like this story, Michael.
Yeah. This is from Emily in Vermont. Do you ever get irritated when the producer interrupts you in the middle of, oh, no, wait. Sorry, that was my inner voice. It came out loud. What's the most memorable meal you've ever had?
Mm.
Oh, Clinton, you start.
I'm going to say the most memorable meal I've ever had, as far as, like, it blew my mind, was lobster thermidor when I was, like, 11 or 12 years old. My grandparents drove us down from San Francisco to Carmel. And there was a restaurant called the Clam Box in Carmel, I believe. And I begged to have lobster thermidor. And if you don't know, lobster thermidor is basically lobster that's been cooked, tossed in a sherry cream sauce, put back in its shell, topped with Gruyere cheese, and put under the broiler. It is delicious. And I just remember, like, that was the first time I ever had a meal that blew my mind. How about you guys?
Carla?
This was around, I think I was in culinary school, and I went to the Frog and the Redneck.
Jimmy!
Jimmy Sneed in Richmond, Virginia.
It was a restaurant, Jimmy Sneed, and his mentor was Jean-Louis Pelletier.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jimmy was the redneck, Jean-Louis was the frog.
The frog. It was so good, and that was the first time that I had a chocolate molten cake. Mm. And I remember eating this food and having this experience, because before I went to culinary school, I didn't really eat out a lot. I didn't have any money to really eat out a lot. And I was having so many firsts, and I was like, whoa. Food does this? I mean, I felt like giggling. You know how you feel like giggling? And I was like, oh my God, I got the giggles over the food. And I sort of doubled down in wanting to do it, but it was at the Frog and the Redneck.
Frog and the Redneck. Mm-hmm. Mine was, and this is very bougie, very fancy, very whatever. But it was, I've never been blown away to this level. And I don't think I ever will be again. When we opened Lola in 1997, Thomas Keller, French laundry Thomas Keller, had a lot of Cleveland connections. So he was in Cleveland quite a bit. And he ate at Lola several times. And I had an opportunity to possibly work at French Laundry before it had opened because of some of the Cleveland connections. Thomas had eaten Lola a couple times. And he kept saying, when are you and Liz coming to French Laundry? When are you Liz and Liz coming to French Laundry? And this was before French Laundry Cookbook was out. And Thomas was quite, you know, as famous as he has become since then. And Liz and I, for our honeymoon, we got married after Lola was open and everything because we were just too busy. So we get married. I call Thomas and I said, we're going to come to Napa. He said, here's where you're going to stay. Here's you're coming to French Laundry. We go to Napa. We go to San Francisco. We're day in San Francisco. Then we go to Napa. And we go into French Laundry and we sit down. And Thomas comes out to the table and he's like, are you guys okay with me just cooking for you? And I said, yes. So he goes back into the kitchen. And the server goes, who are you? He goes, he's never come out of the dining room since we opened. Who are you? And I said, oh, I've known him from, I'm a chef, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. He cooked us 40 courses.
What?
Just wait. So 40 courses, and Liz and I each had a different thing every course, and every course was 2 bites. So you took a bite, and then you passed it to Liz passed, and then I got a bite. So we had, 80 different preparations of food over, it was like probably a 5-hour
day. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, and you know me, I'm 80, I'm like, I can't sit anywhere for more than 6 minutes. I was absorbed and blown away. And like the best part was too is, Thomas knew that I smoked. So the way the server would come out and go, this would be a good time for you to go outside and have a cigarette. Because he's like, Michael's not going to sit through 5 hours. He's going to eat his little break. So, and we got back to our little B&B that he had to stay at. And I remember we're walking back. And like, Lola had some success already. I'd been a Food and Wine Best New Chef. Mm-hmm. And, feeling good about myself. And like, we're walking down the street and Liz goes, what's wrong? I'm like, I suck. I am such a fan. No, but it wasn't like
that.
It just melted my brain.
Yeah.
And it was like, I had eaten in Europe and at Michelin star restaurants and all that stuff, but nothing had blown my mind. And then years later, people go, Thomas Keller's overrated. I'm like, give me 80 dishes with no repeating ingredient.
In 5 hours.
Because I sat down, we had 80 different bites, because 40 each, with no, I'm sure onions, whatever, but no repeating themed ingredient.
Wow.
It still was the greatest dining experience I have ever had in my life. It blew me away. Wow. And it made me realize how powerful and thoughtful, food can be when it's just done. It's such a high level.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's amazing. That makes my French Laundry story really pale in comparison. I went to French Laundry with Damon. early on in our relationship, at the height of my what not to wear fame, when I couldn't walk down the street without being attacked by mobs of young women. And we're sitting there at French Laundry having this wonderful dinner, and I see these flashes going off, and I'm like, Damon, I can't even believe people are taking my picture right now. This is so rude. And so he turns around, he goes, they're not taking pictures of you, they're taking pictures of their food.
Still a great story.
Oh my God, that's a great story.
It was before like people were really posting on the internet their food pictures. So it was like the first time I'd ever seen. I was like, really? don't they see I'm sitting right here?
But like when I went, I mean, that was like, I don't know what you're, people really didn't have camera. I was 1998 when Liz and I went there.
Oh yeah,
for that.
Flip,
that
and time. You didn't take pictures with your flip phone.
No, I don't think I had a flip phone.
Hilarious. Okay. Oh guys, what a fun week this has been.
We still got our giveaway.
I know. I'm just saying, it's just been a great week.
It's been such a great week. So much fun. And this, I think this giveaway will sort of let you know how much we love you all. And this is a big one. And this is, I mean, I also feel like on the heels of the holidays, as it is rolling out right now, this is the Caraway baking set.
This is no joke.
And guess, it comes with a loaf pan that you can make this invisible apple cake in, but it also has square pans, a round pan.
Sheet pans.
It's got everything. Muffin tins.
Caraway, we want to thank Caraway again. They've been really great to us.
Yes,
and
thank you.
Like not only giving us things for the show, but also things to give out as gifts.
That's been
and like great.
Great
gifts. Nick, I think, could you play fan mail again? Because I feel this is such a great, you know.
Well, fan mail is this.
I know, but you should be able to dance and celebrate this also.
Right? You got a giveaway.
You got fan mail. Look out, it's fan mail, fan mail.
I don't know, probably didn't need to do it, but I just wanted to.
I'm trying to do what you did. I'm like, who did?
Yeah, you guys are both going to be attraction tomorrow. You know, like everything's fun and games on Friday. I can't wait to see how you do tomorrow.
Okay, Clinton, get in.
Oh, I'm going in. Okay. Going in deep. The winner is Vicky L. from Highland, Indiana.
Oh, Highland, Indiana. Vicky L.
So nice. Happy holidays to you. Happy cooking. Happy baking.
I know.
You can make, look at right here. You can make Clinton's invisible apple cake.
There you go. You could do it, Vicky.
You know why you can make Clinton's invisible apple cake? Because this is not invisible. This all here is yours.
It is yours. Just a reminder, anybody listening or watching right now, subscribe.
Hit the button.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel and or just wherever you listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
And next week, we have all sorts of holiday episodes for you. Yay!
CK, I know that I'm at the head of the table today, but I always like it best when you take us out.
Oh, thank you, Zoe. All right, it's time for us to go. Thanks for watching Chewed Up. Have a fabulous day, everybody!
Chewed Up. Thanks for watching Chewed Up. And thanks to our sponsors for making the show possible. Casa Mara Club, Caraway, Frontgate, and special thanks to Canopy by Hilton for supporting our show. New episodes drop every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To subscribe, snag recipes, and dig into all the extra fun, head to chewedupshow.com or watch and click subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Now go make a mess in your own kitchen. Chewed Up.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.